He might be wondering what your child has been doing. For the 1,200 plus hours we've been in school. That's scary, isn't it? Tonight, we would like to give you a sneak peek into a day in kindergarten. Each morning, we start the day with the pledges and sing the Star Spangled Banner. And we'd like to ask you to join us as we start our program the same way. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I'll make it a lamp into my feet and a light into my path. I will hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against God. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for the kingdom it stands. One Savior crucified, risen and coming again with life and liberty.
Bible is one of the children's favorite times. Boys and girls have learned a Bible verse for each of the letters of the alphabet, and a few of the children will say some of those verses for you now.
Do you Bible verse? Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. Psalm 147:1.
S. Barbers. Seek ye the Lord while I may be found. Isaiah 55:6.
K. Barbers. Keep your tongue thy evil. A Psalm 34:13.
Say Bible verse. And he said, Abraham, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. John 14:6.
See Bible verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6:1.
Your Bible verse. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Psalm 75:1.
That was a good job. The building of character and right thinking in a child can only be accomplished through the Word of God. We would like to share some of the things we've learned from our Bible stories this year.
No. Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh and preach to the people. He ran from God and got swallowed by a great big fish. This lesson taught me we shall obey right away.
Jonah's brothers didn't tell their father the truth when he saw the coat of many colors. They were very sorry later on. This lesson taught me we should always tell the truth even when it's very hard.
When the disciples were fishing, a storm came up. They were afraid. So they asked Jesus for help. I learned that God is ready to listen and help us when we pray.
Was one of the most exciting experiences for the children this year. They've enjoyed phonics games while learning the sounds for each letter. There were also fun songs for the short sounds of the vowels.
A, Z, A, A, G.
As consonants were introduced, the children learned to read blend. Good. Now we add a final consonant to make a word.
Tim, cut, got,
Sam,
bed.
And now we're going to add a second vowel and make a new word. What's the two vowel rule, class? What is your new word?
Time, keep, goat, sing.
Very good, thank you. After they learned all the letters and put them together into words, they were ready to read from their 12 Abeka Book readers. And we have two girls who are going to come and read for us tonight.
On Sunday we go to church. I dress up in my best suit. I like to sing in Sunday school. I hear about Jesus. We often the same row in church. Dad lets me read out his big Bible. I like to sit by my dad. Sue sits next to Mom.
Tuesday. On Tuesday I go to school. I can count and I can read. It is fun to go to school. At home, I eat my lunch. Then I take a nap. Mom presses my pants and shirt. She presses Sue's dress. I am glad she is my mom. When I wake up, Rook and I go for a walk. We run and hop and skip.
Good. Thank you. Special sounds were introduced, like A and pray and stop. And the children are going to now read to you some words that have these clues, words that have clue sounds, clues, special sounds in them. Sorry.
Is each kami has one vowel. When there's one vowel in a word, it usually says its short sound.
I have a short word, is the. But don't have to spell it out, you just have to remember it. I'm glad there are many of these kinds of words.
When E comes at the end of a short word, it says E and me. My word is we.
A and pray, it is day.
G-R says girl and grin. A says the silent A. The silent E makes the second A says his name. My word is graduate.
As you can see, our words have made a sentence. Now the children are going to show you what a difference one little mark can make.
I'm Ty Pioia. I tell you to read a sentence like this. This is the day we graduate.
My name is Kelly Question Mark. Do you know what I do? That's right. I raise a lot of questions. My station name is this the day we graduate?
I am Ella Exclamation Mark. I help people find exciting sentences. Now listen to my sentence. This is the day we graduate.
Our boys and girls have also been learning the numbers up to 100. We learned them by families, and they're going to show you how we did that. Tyler, if you'll come to the board. What number is this, Tyler?
57.
What number comes after 57?
58.
And what number comes before?
56.
Very good. Thank you. Julian, come up to the board. What number is this, Julian?
16.
And what family is it in? 15. How do you know that? All right. Thank you, Julian. The children have also learned to count by fives and tens to 100, and we put that into practice when we counted money. Parker, if you'll come to the board. What coin is this, Parker?
A nickel.
And how much money do we have here?
15 cents.
Thank you. When we count nickels, we count by fives. Do this, class.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 60, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, 100.
Thank you. Gabriel, if you'll come to the board. What's this coin?
Dime.
And how much money do we have here?
40 cents.
Thank you, Gabriel. When we count dimes, we count by tens. Do this, class.
10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100.
We also learned how to tell time. Katarina, if you'll come up here. What time does that say?
5:05.
Can you make it say 5:30? Thank you, Katarina. Carly, if you'll come up. And tell us what time that says.
2:00.
Can you make it say 2:30? Good job. Thank you, Carly. That was good. It's important that the children have a basic understanding of addition. And so in kindergarten, we learn the addition families up to the sums of 10. And tonight, we have one of those families with us. Hello, Mrs. 8. We would like to meet your family.
Come along, children.
What are your names?
My name is 7 plus 1 equals 8.
My name is 1 plus 7 equals 8. You can tell we are twins because we look so much alike.
My name is 4 plus 4 equals 8. There is just one of me. I am called a double because I have the same two numbers.
You must be a pair of sneakers.
Yes, and we are twins. My name is 6 plus 2 equals 8.
And my name is 2 plus 6 equals 8.
Don't forget us. We're a pair of twins, too.
My name is 5 plus 3 equals 8.
3 plus 5 equals 8.
Well, this is an interesting family, but where's child number 8? Oh, here comes the last one.
My name is 8. Well, 0 plus 8 equals 8. I'm the baby.
As a conclusion to our program, some of the children will say some of the poems we've learned this year.
The wood pigeon picked out a little apple and made him a house in the telephone pole. One day as I watched, he poked out his head, he on the hood and collar of red. When the streams of rain pour out of the sky and the sparkles of lightning go flashing by in the big, big, big day, where the thunder was, he can snuggle back in the telephone pole.
Whistles by Dorothy Allen. I want to learn to whistle. I always wanted to. I fixed my mouth to do it, but the whistle won't come through. A secret stuff for a channel for to people to all whistle the words my whistle then.
Three Guests by Jessica North. I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. It was very small, three guests and all, just I, myself, and me. Myself put up the sandwich hills while I drink up the tea. It was also I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me.
Well, that was certainly a blessing, wasn't it? It's hard to believe that seems like a couple of weeks ago they were just little infants. And now look at them, right? They're growing up so quickly. What a blessing to see them at this stage of their education and growth and all the things they've learned. It's a blessing. These children are gone to get their caps and gowns on, come back to receive their graduation diplomas. But while they're gone, I want to look with you just a few thoughts from God's Word, and they'll be back shortly to graduate. I'd like to read one verse of Scripture this evening, and it's Proverbs 22 and verse 6, a verse that you're familiar with, I'm sure. It says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Let's look to the Lord for just a moment as we begin to think about this verse. Father, we thank you for these young people, for Mrs. McCafferty, and for the things they've learned this year. We thank you for their parents and their grandparents, the families that have sacrificed to make their education possible. We thank you, Father, for the opportunities that they've had to grow in wisdom and knowledge. We pray that you'll bless them, that you'll help them as they grow to look to you for that wisdom, that they might become young people and then adults who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll help each of us as family members who know them well to help them along the way. We ask, Lord, that you'll help us now as we consider your word. We pray that you'll give us insight into the life that you would have us live as we seek to train up our children in the way that they should go. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Train up a child in the way that he should go. That's our job, isn't it, as adults? To train up the children that are in our care. And they do need training. You've noticed that, I suppose. You can't help but notice it when you go to Walmart or walk around in any place where people are there with their children. And you see that the philosophy of not training the children doesn't work out very well. Children who are not trained end up little criminals. And it's not too hard to see where they're headed in their life without training. They need that discipline. They need that loving discipline to point them in the right direction so they can become the kind of citizens that can be a benefit to society and a benefit to themselves. And so training is important. But then the question is, what kind of training? And there are all kinds of philosophies about that. But the Bible gives us the answer. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. In other words, knowing God in truth is the beginning of an education. If you don't build on the knowledge that comes from the Word of God, you have no foundation. You're just building on human opinion. What one expert says, or another expert might think, or maybe some survey of what all people think. But what we really need is a foundation that will last. And that foundation is found right here in God's book. And we're so thankful to be able to have a place like Calvary Christian School where we can build on the foundation of God's Word, an education that will truly train our young people. Why should a person do the right thing? And after all, who says what's right and what's wrong? Without the foundation of God's Word, it's just a matter of personal opinion. Or whoever has the biggest muscles or the most money to make their will happen. But the Bible teaches that there is a right and there is a wrong. And we can know what it is. We can look into God's Word and find out what the Creator God thinks about everything. And if we do that, then we can build a foundation in the lives of our children that will last. Life has lots of unexpected things in it. We know that from our own experience. We don't know what the future might hold for ourselves or for our children. But we do know this, that God's Word is settled in heaven, forever settled. It's not going to change. It's going to be there when our children are our age and when they have their own children and grandchildren. The Word of God will still be the same. And we can count on it. Now, a lot of people have tossed the Bible aside as outmoded or unimportant for today's living. But that's foolish. It's written by the Creator God who made each one of us, who knows the future even before it happens, and is able to tell us in detail what life is all about. It seems foolish to throw off instruction like that. But that verse that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge goes on to say, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'm not much of an auto mechanic. I can change oil, change a tire, but much more than that, I need some help. And I would be foolish to start disassembling the engine of my car and working on it because I don't know anything about it. That's just not my specialty. But I do know people who know exactly how to fix it, and that's where I go. I take it to somebody who knows how to take it apart and put it back together so that it works. That's just common sense, isn't it? Well, this life that we're living is made by God Himself. He's the one who designed it, who gave us our talents, our abilities, our personality, everything about us. And the one who superintends every aspect of our lives, all the circumstances, all the things that happen. It makes sense to look to Him and find out what He thinks. It makes sense, doesn't it? But we're kind of proud. Kind of stubborn, too. And we would rather do it ourselves. You know how it is with your kindergartner? When you want to do something, they want to help. If you're painting, they want to paint. If you're working in the yard, they want to work in the yard. If you're washing the dishes, they want to wash the dishes. And some things they can help with, as long as you're watching them. But some things they just can't do yet. And yet they think they can do it all. I can do it myself. Have you ever heard that? I can do it myself. And so we let them try within certain limits, but we watch them. And we're carefully training them so that they can learn to truly do the things they need to do. Well, we're the same way with the Lord. Exactly the same way. We don't change much from the time we're in kindergarten to the time we're 50 or 60 or 70. In our attitude toward things, we still feel, I can do it myself. I don't need anybody. I don't even need God, really. I mean, I'm doing okay. That's our attitude of heart many times. But it's foolish. It's foolish to not consider what the God who made us thinks about things. And so we come to His Word to find out what an education for our children is really all about. And what we learn is that education is acquiring true wisdom and true knowledge. Schooling is not necessarily education. You can go to school a long, long time and still be kind of dumb. And we've all met people like that who have degrees behind their name, but they don't have any sense. They don't know how to think about the realities of life. And they're often some sort of never land in terms of their thinking about the issues of life and what's truly important. Education is not just schooling. Education means getting true wisdom and true knowledge. Knowledge that lines up with the way our Creator God thinks. That's what I'm talking about. And knowledge that has practical value in building a life that has character and a family that works and a society that holds together and doesn't destroy itself. All of those things need the wisdom of God. All of those things. And so, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But it's foolish. It's fools that despise wisdom and instruction. So we want our children to have a true education. And God holds us as parents and grandparents accountable for that education. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 these words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. That's our responsibility. To teach our children. To make sure they are taught these words. What words? The words of the Creator God. Written down in a book. Preserved so that we can read them today. We need our children to have that foundation. And that's what they're getting here at Calvary Christian School. We need to teach them diligently unto our children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So our whole life is to be about getting these children trained in that foundation of God's Word. And that's what we're doing here, helping you train them in that very thing. We don't want them to just be experts in language and mathematics, history, and science. We want them to have a foundation for living a life that will count for something. Sure, they need to know all those things. And we teach those things. We have graduates who are doctors, lawyers, engineers, who are working in all kinds of professions and jobs in the community. We have all kinds of people whose lives testify to the academic excellence of Calvary Christian School. But we want more than that. We want lives that count for something for God. Lives that are built on a solid foundation of a knowledge of this book. So that when they meet these philosophies that are just wacky out here in the world, they'll have a reason to say no and to go the right way instead of the wrong way. We want the best for our children. We want the best in every way. But it's got to begin with God's Word. It's got to begin there. Train up a child in the way he should go. That's our job. The Bible commands us to do it. Government schools are not providing that kind of education. They're just not. Now, there's some good people who, with good intentions, laboring in that field. But they're limited. We know that the law has made it impossible for Christians to have a clear testimony in the classroom in public school. Prayer and Bible reading and the Ten Commandments, God's Word, they're all excluded by law from the public school classroom. And even though the teacher may have good intentions, they're restricted by law from presenting God's Word clearly and carefully to the young people. We need that. We need that. And they can't get it there. Secular humanism is the religion that is prominent in our day. Secular meaning without God, and humanism meaning based on man's opinions about how life ought to be lived. That is the prevailing religion of our day. And there are many adherents. And the priests of that religion have lots of degrees behind their name. But again, I say, if you leave God out, what do you have? All you have left is man's opinions. And what is that worth? We need to understand what true religion is all about and where we can get it. But I believe in Christian education, not only because the Bible commands it. I read it in the Scriptures clearly that that's my job as a parent and grandparent. And I believe in it not only because the government schools don't provide it, but I believe in Christian education because I've personally seen the value of it. I am a graduate of Calvary Christian School. And, you know, besides a few odd things that I do, you know, I feel like things have turned out pretty well. I got an excellent academic education, and I was prepared in every way for the college courses that I took after graduation. I found no holes in what I had learned, and I was able to do all that God expected me to do and called me to do in that way. So the academics were good. But Also, I saw it in my daughter's experience. I have two grown daughters. One of them is Mrs. McCafferty, whom you have come to know this year. And the other one resides in Florida and is married and now has a little girl of her own. And both of my daughters have grown up in Calvary Christian School and have been prepared to serve God by their experience here. I've seen how the Lord has used their lives beyond the classroom, beyond their experience in high school, as adults, as wives now and as mothers, and in their own home. And I can see how God is working in their lives based on the things that they have learned and put into practice right here. I've seen it in my students' lives. I've been privileged to teach here for 30 years. That's a long time. It seems like just a few short years, but it's been a long time. But I've seen over 150 students graduate from Calvary Christian School and go out into the community, and I can see how the Lord is working in their lives. Not all of them came to know the Lord. That's not a guarantee, this Proverbs verse that we've read, that if we train them up, that they will automatically serve God and be Christian in everything. But one thing is true. They can never depart. They can never get away from the things that they've learned right here in the classroom. No matter where they go or what they do, I can see the Lord working in their lives. And time after time, we have students come back by here and visit Mr. Creech in his office or come see one of our teachers and say to them, you know, I think I pretty much slept through chapel all the way through high school. I barely listened, but I got to thinking about the things. Somehow those things got into my mind and into my heart. And as I faced different problems in my life and as I tried to figure out what I was supposed to be doing and I went through the different experiences that I passed through, I began to reflect on what I was taught by the teachers, by Mr. Creech, by the things I learned at Calvary Christian School. It came back to my mind. And the Lord was able to reach me, to come back to those things and draw me to Himself. What a testimony that is. It takes time sometimes for that to happen in the lives of our young people. And of course, anyone can reject the things they've heard and continue to reject those things. But you see, they can never get away from it. They can never get away from it. And no matter where they go or what they do or how they choose to live, the things they were taught from God's Word will be right there in their thinking. And they will have to turn their back on it every single day to not come to know the Lord who loves them. And see, that's our prayer. That the things we're installing in their thinking will help them throughout their life to come to know Him and to get on the right track for God. That's what Christian education is all about. I've seen it personally, the value of it. And I know what to expect from it too. As I said, it won't make every student automatically a Christian. There's this business called the self-will. We choose to believe or not to believe. It won't even make every student a success in the eyes of the world. It won't make every student a good person necessarily in the eyes of society. But it will bring every student face to face with the claims of the Lord on their life. And it will enable every student to develop their God-given abilities to the fullest, preparing that student to serve the Lord throughout their life. And that's what we want, isn't it? I mean, when we realize what an investment God has made to educate our young people, it's astounding. I mean, we have sacrificed, you all have sacrificed, with money and time to put them in Calvary Christian School. And you're to be commended for that sacrifice, for exercising that wisdom, to get them started on that solid foundation. But think about the sacrifice that the Lord Himself has made for each one of us. He's invested a whole lot more than we ever have. He sent His own Son to be our Savior, to take our place on Calvary and suffer and die so that we could be given the gift of eternal life. That's a tremendous investment. And not only did He make the investment, but He wrote down the reasons. He put them in a book, so that you and I can know why that sacrifice was necessary. We need to carefully instruct our children in those reasons so that they can know the Savior and live for Him. What's the most important thing that I can do for my children or grandchildren? That question ran across my mind recently, and I thought about it carefully. What's the most important thing I can do for them? Well, I can put a roof over their head, and I can make sure they have something to eat. I can put clothes on their back. That's important. That's important. But is it the most important thing? I got thinking about that. Well, maybe it's keeping them in a sound, fundamental Bible preaching church. That's an important thing. Is that the most important thing? I can pray for them, for their salvation and for their service and dedication to the Lord. That's important. I can provide for their education under godly teachers and a Bible-based curriculum. And that's important. But you know, the greatest thing that you and I can do for our children, for these kindergartners who are about to graduate, for any of our children or grandchildren, is to be personally an example to them. See, our children often follow our example more than they follow our words. Have you noticed that? They do the things we do. They want to be like their parents and like their grandparents. They do what we do. And if we will surrender our hearts to Christ, and we will study God's Word and do His will, they will see that. And they will follow that example by and large. Sometimes our lives don't back up what we say we believe, unfortunately. And when we do that, we're sending our children mixed signals. Well, I'm telling you to trust God and serve Him, but you can see in my life that what I really care about is sports, or what I really care about is hunting and fishing, or what I really care about is traveling here and there and everywhere. What do our children see in our example? The greatest thing we could do for them is to surrender our hearts and lives to the Lord and ask Him humbly to lead us the way we need to go. And if we'll do that, our children will see it. And they will recognize that example. It will draw them to Christ. And they will serve Him as they come to know Him and find out why we think it's so important to walk in His ways. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the time we can consider these thoughts. Father, we want to train up our children in the way they should go, so that when they are old, they will have these things installed in their hearts and minds and be guided by them, so that You can reach them for Your glory, and out of their life there might come a testimony of a relationship with You. We pray that You'll help us to be that kind of example that we need to be, so that we might search our hearts and see what it is that would keep us from being the right kind of testimony to them. We pray for these young people that they will grow up to serve and love the Savior who died for them, that they might have the gift of everlasting life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Anya Aponte. Dakota Bender. Carly Butler. Ben Connor. Ethan Creech. Parker Deese. Jamie Francis. Jaclyn Fink. Kale Gilbert. Meredith Green. Jacqueline Hutchinson. Maddox Jones. Connor Lafferty. Katie McCafferty. Katarina Marilat. I'm sorry, it's actually Marilit. Katarina Marilat. Taylor Miller. G Gabriel Silsby. Cody Talbert. Julian Torres. Tyler Sung.
Ceremony, and that will be available in the school office in a few days, so if you just stop by there and ask, they'll let you know when that's ready. If you'd like to purchase one of those, a very small fee just to make the DVD, and that's available if you'd like to have one. So just check in the office in a few days, and there should be something there about that. Let's... Yes, sir? Okay, it's also on sermonaudio.com. If you go there on the internet, we before all our services, and the graduation is there as well, and you can view it there too. So that's another way to find it. Just look under Calvary Memorial Church. You'll find that video of the kindergarten graduation on sermonaudio.com. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask His blessing on the refreshments. Then we'll head down that way. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to see these young people growing up. It seems like just yesterday they were just infants in our arms, and now here they are graduating from kindergarten. What a blessing it is to see how you're working in their lives, the things they've learned over the year. We're so grateful, Father, that we have a place where we can train up our children in the way they should go. We pray you'll bless these families, bless each parent, each grandparent, each relative, and help each of us, Lord, to see that the sacrifices we make to provide this Christian education are very small indeed compared to the benefits. We ask that you'll give us grace to continue to serve you and to train them. We ask you to bless these refreshments we're about to receive. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.